is Digital Marketer.
Today, it's Pam Jordan from Pivot Business Group.
All right, Pam Jordan, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's finally cooling down here in Texas, and all of us here could not be happier.
Well, you are lucky because it is still 90 up here in North Carolina and humid as can be.
Oh boy, that sounds like a whole lot of fun. I'm super excited about the conversation today. For the listeners at home, Pam and I had an opportunity to sit down yesterday and really go through everything that Pam does. And I think you're really, really going to enjoy all of the insights that she's going to bring to the table. This episode is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about money and managing your money effectively. So let's just dive right into it. This is a topic that we don't normally talk about on this show, but I think it's going to be a good one. So Pam, could you tell us a little bit about the function of a CFO in a business?
Sure. So a CFO is the chief financial officer. And this is the person that is in the ear of the CEO or the president and talks to the board and basically translates all the numbers into reports that they understand and lets the leadership know what's going on within the company. But most importantly, they play a huge role in the strategy of the company because they're working with the leadership team to say, where do you want to go? Do you want to sell? Do you want to do a generational pass off? What do you want to do with your company? And the CFO essentially helps you create the roadmap to get you there. So it's a true partnership. And they're the ones sitting there and saying, okay, this is what that number means, and this is where you want to go. So these are your options. Pick one.
Definitely. But what happens if you don't have a CFO? I mean, especially, you know, early stage starting out, you know, a lot of us marketers don't know a whole lot about, you know, the whole CFO portion of running a business. So how does one go about kind of figuring that out, learning about that, and taking care of that side of their business?
So as entrepreneurs and a business owner, whether you're running an agency or just starting out, your numbers actually do matter because ultimately it's your money. So you need to keep track of them. And so there's two sides of this. There is accounting, which is looking in the rearview mirror and seeing where your money went and getting reports together. And that's where you have like QuickBooks and those kind of things. And that's your financial statements. But where a CFO comes in is they're looking out the front window. They're looking at where you're going. They're taking the information of where you've been and they're helping you get where you want to go. Now, as a young company, you don't need a full-time CFO. And most likely you can't afford the salary that comes with having a full-time CFO. CFO salaries start $150 and go up to $400, $500 for the big, you know, millions if you're a big dog.
Oh yeah.
And then the benefits and the incentives and all of that. So having a full-time CFO on staff is expensive, mm-hmm. and you have to keep them busy if you're going to pay them that much. So there's a huge gap from startup to 25 million where you need a CFO. And that's the gap that I play in. I'm what's called a fractional CFO. And so my company fills that gap, whether they're, you know, an hour a week, an hour a month, one day a month, one day a quarter, whatever the need be, there's a way to still get that executive level financial help, but just not all the time.
Definitely. So what does that look like to implement into your business? What's the process like to get started? And how does that carry on, you know, throughout the life of the business?
So if you're looking for a fractional CFO, you essentially just need to ask for some referrals. You can do some Google searches and whatnot, but you're really looking for personality that's going to match where you are.
Yeah.
And that the person's going to understand how your business runs, because not all companies are the same. Numbers are numbers, but the intricacies of them are very, very different. So my suggestion is get a couple of referrals for two or three fractional CFO firms and interview them.
Okay.
And see if their personality gets along well with yours. See if they've worked with clients that are in a similar industry than you have, similar size. And then also just kind of ask them some questions to see how creative they are. Because if there's a whole lot of accounting that's not black and white, mm-hmm. and a whole lot of finance that's not black and white. And so my recommendation is you need to have a CFO that aligns with your variance of black and white and gray.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so a lot of entrepreneurs that I work with are very creative and totally want to live in the gray. And that's, you know, that's my sandbox. I love gray. So we are going to be creative. We're going to come up with crazy ideas and we're going to see what's legal and we'll do that. And what's not, then we'll back off.
There you go.
So you need to find someone personality wise that matches you, but then also how creative they are or how much they think outside the box, or if they're just like, no, these are the numbers.
Right. It's almost sounding a little bit like, you know, having a fractional CFO is also kind of like having, you know, a partner to bounce ideas off of and somebody to really help you take, you know, what you're doing and expand it into the next level from a financial perspective. Would that be an accurate representation? Awesome.
Yeah, totally.
So you did mention the $25 million mark. So that's where typically a business needs a CFO. At what level of a business should somebody start to seek out, you know, help from a fractional CFO? Is that at, you know, the 25 million mark, or is that well before the 25 million mark?
Sure. So I have clients that are startups, clients all the way to 20 plus million a year in gross revenue. It just depends on your level of comfort with accounting and finance. So if you're rolling into your entrepreneurial journey and you've got some number background or you have someone that you can bounce things off of, then you can wait a minute. But if you are really amazing at content and you suck at numbers, you need someone to help you sooner than later.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how good you are at content if you can't run your company. Mm-hmm. You will run out of money and you will be broke. So my answer is the sooner the better.
Okay.
And there's varying levels of services and packages that fractional CFOs provide. But the sooner you have someone of that level on your team, the sooner you can scale and get to the next level. Because the fractional CFO truly is a team member, like you said, that's in your ear, that's going to answer your text and say, no, don't buy that, you know, software, or you don't need that server just yet.
Right.
Or if you want to buy that, you need to go get X amount in sales.
Gotcha. Definitely helps lay that foundation, lay that map out for you so you know where to go. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So we talked yesterday a little bit about a methodology called Profit First. And I want to dive into that a little bit more. Listeners, if you have read this book, you know how valuable this methodology is. But Pam, could you kind of break down what Profit First means and what businesses can do to kind of implement the strategies of Profit First?
Yeah, 100%. So Profit First is a cash management system, and it stems from a book called Profit First, and it was written by Mike Michalowicz. And what it comes down to is a couple principles, but the main one is most entrepreneurs and business owners pull up their phone to see how much money they have in their bank, and they are either happy about it or they're sad. And if they're happy about it, they go shopping, and they think that they can go and spend money. But what they don't realize is there's a whole lot that goes on in running a company that needs to come out of that big pot of money. Payroll, taxes, your profit, your distributions, you know, your utilities, your loan payments, all those things. Mm-hmm. So with Profit First, we divide the cash into different physical checking accounts and savings accounts. So soon as money comes in, we allocate it based on percentages, based on the size of your company. And there's a whole methodology and a fun little formula, and we spit it out and help you get there. So basically, if you get $10,000 that comes in the door, you immediately put a certain percentage into profit, tax, owner's comp, and operating expense. And there's other accounts that you can create outside of that, like payroll, or if there's something that you want to invest in, like that server, or say you want to bring on, you know, a CMO or whatever, you could create a bank account and throw money over there so that once you've got the amount, you can go buy the thing or hire the person. But what's great about it is you are paying yourself first. Mm-hmm. So on day one, you are making money. So often, people start a company and go out on their own because they think they can do it better than the last person they worked for.
Oh, of course.
And they want to have that financial freedom. But if you don't manage your money, you're going to work really hard and not have anything in your pocket, and your kids aren't going to know who you are. So it's about having that balance of tracking your numbers. So basically, you say, look, it's sales less profit, as in the money I want to make as the entrepreneur and business owner, as my reward for taking the risk and doing the hard stuff that Mr. W2 over there is not doing. And then the money left is what you have to spend. You know, it's Parkinson's law. If I put a salad plate in front of you and fill it up and a dinner plate in front of you, you're going to eat whatever's on the plate. Mm-hmm. So if I give you a smaller plate, a smaller portion of money to play with, you're going to spend less money because that's all you have.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic for small business owners to really get control of their money and know what they truly have to spend and not get so excited because there's, you know, $50,000 in the bank.
Right. Okay, no, right.
You only have 15 that you can play with. Everything else is spoken for.
Yeah.
And what's also great is when you get those profit checks. So as the owner, there's a certain system of we go into the profit account and we write a big check to ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really fun day.
Oh, I'm sure. That sounds like a great day.
When that money comes to you. And there's another really good day when tax time comes and Mr. Uncle, you know, Uncle Sam is holding his hand out and you've got a tax account. And there's money sitting in it. Mm-hmm. And so your CPA or tax preparer says, okay, Garrett, you owe $4,000. You're like, grin on your face, smile and be like, I got this because mm-hmm. you have a tax account. And there's $5,000 sitting in it. And so you just made $1,000.
Yeah.
Because you had the money set aside. So Profit First is a cash management system to essentially put your money in pre-assigned buckets and accounts. So you have a smaller amount of money to play with and yeah. that you put the name on the rest of the money yeah. and you pay yourself first on day one. So you, as soon as you implement Profit First, you are profitable.
All it right.
It's the way the system works.
Yeah, no, it's so smart. And honestly, you know, when you talk through it, it really reminds me of the old, you know, putting money in envelopes trick. You know,
100%.
Just putting your 100%. Allowance and spreading it out. Okay, I need this much for, you know, bubble gum and this much for a Snickers bar. And you know, I'm going to make sure that those are separate. And, you know, and two, it reminds me, I think this was an internship in college. I was a 1099 employee. And I remember doing that exact thing is I knew how much I had to pay in rent. I knew how much that I wanted to take. And I knew how much that I needed to give to Uncle Sam because they didn't take the taxes out. And I'll never forget for sure. that day where I had to write that check to Uncle Sam, but I had an extra $1,000 that I had saved in that account. And oh my God, as a college student, to have an extra $1,000 just appear out of nowhere was the best feeling in the world. So I can't imagine that at a grander scale for a business. That's got to be such a good feeling.
Yeah. And you don't have to stress about the tax payments.
Right.
It's there.
Right.
The money's sitting there.
Yeah.
And you can't get to it. And the other piece is whatever's in the operating account is all you have to spend. So no, you can't go to that conference or no, you can't buy that thing mm-hmm. because you only have $10,000,
yep.
period. If that's it. And so until you do more work or collect more money, that's the only money you have to play with. And it really makes you prioritize, is this something that's important for me to purchase right now? Or nah, let me wait a minute.
Yeah, maybe next month, maybe next year, who knows? So for those people out there who might want to cut corners and not separate that money into different accounts, would you advise against that? Because I know for me, I might just be like, you know what? I can do this in my head. I can keep track of it on paper. I don't need to actually physically set up different accounts. Have you seen people try this? And I'm assuming people fail with this.
So yes.
Okay.
I am not saying that Profit First is the answer be all end all for cash management for every company across the board. Mm-hmm. I am saying it is an amazing tool. You can have a very detailed budget within your accounting software. And if you follow the budget, it works the same way.
Definitely.
But if you are an entrepreneur, you've got 10 employees or less, are you really going to check your budget every day to see if you can buy pizza, you know,
right.
for the team today? Or am I going to be able to make payroll? So by no means is it the answer, but it's an amazing tool. If you aren't going to use that, you do need to create a budget and there's apps like You Need a Budget that you can use that will link with your bank. One way or the other, you need to have some way to track your cash or you will run out of it.
Yeah. Speaking the truth. Well, I think a lot of, this can sound good, right off the outset, but you know, how do you actually apply it? What are the numbers that you look at? You know, what are the things that you keep track of to really stay on top of this process and stay on top of your money as a business owner? I know that you kind of have a top five that you look for in terms of the top five metrics that you need to check on. I believe it's every week. Did I get that
100%.
Right? All right.
Yeah, you did great. You
awesome.
Remembered.
I'm
so
remembering
proud.
Things, you know? My memory is, you know, slowly slipping away, but I'm getting there.
Hey, come on. You got a while. So yes. So I have created what I call the top five. It's easy numbers for business owners to track on a weekly basis to have a picture of where they are. Now, yes, you need an accounting software. You need a team that can give you much deeper metrics. If you want KPIs on how many phone calls your sales team's making and what your, you know, there's CPAs and blah, 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 you know,
yeah.
There's all these acronyms for crap that if you want to track, by all means, have someone track.
Mm-hmm.
But as the business owner, I understand you don't care what your retained earnings are.
Yeah.
You don't care what your current fixed assets are. You just want to know if you're making money, how much money you have, and what's owed to you. So I've created this top five. It's part of an owner's dashboard that we have with our clients. And those are, the first one is the total money that you brought in that week. Physical money that hit the bank. How much came in? The second one is how much physical money left the bank. This includes payments, not just the interest, but the principal, like actual money that left that's not yours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is what I'm going to argue is the most important, which is your profit, which is 1 - 2. Put in Excel, super easy. And that is an indicator of, was this a good week? As in, did I bring in more money than I spent? Or was it, oh crap, I spent more money than I brought in? And when you look at these numbers week over week, I have it color coded. And so if you have a stream of red,
uh-huh.
You have got a problem coming.
Yeah.
And if you're green, rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then the fourth number is the total amount of money that is owed to you.
Okay.
So if you have an accounts receivable with your customers, as in you invoice them and they're on terms of 7, 15, 30 days, or if you've lent money out to any buddy, you know, you've got a buddy that owes you 20 grand or whatever.
Right.
All of that money needs to be there. And then the final number is how much money you owe someone else. And this includes loans. This includes your line of credit. This includes your Amex balance, all of those things, because you need to see as an entrepreneur or business owner, this is how much came in. This is how much went out. Okay. It's green. I'm good. But this is how much coming in. And if everything comes in, this is how much goes out.
Yep.
And then you either feel good about those numbers or you don't feel good about those numbers.
Right.
And if you feel good about it, keep on getting it.
Yeah.
Go out the door, do what you do well, and keep on rocking. But once those numbers start to shift, you know in real time that you have a problem and mm-hmm. you can do something about it. And you
yeah.
can start making good decisions instead of just winging it.
Yeah. It's really smart, you know, the idea of something that's telling you, hey, you might need to look into something. You might need to fix something before you keep moving forward. We've actually applied that here. We use leading and lagging indicators. I know it's a simple mm-hmm. process that a lot of people talk about, but it's that exact same principle. You know, having metrics that you look at that are leading indicators for the big KPIs that come out on the back end. The numbers that once they're there, you can't make a change. So find those numbers that you can actually change before your big KPIs start slipping away. So I think that's brilliant. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you apply this across all of your businesses.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Because I want to know, I mean, I've got multiple companies that I own and run, and I
yeah.
want to see where I'm doing and how much money I have to play with. And, you know, if I can go to this trip or if I can't go to the trip, you
right.
know,
right.
I'm an entrepreneur just like my customers.
Yeah.
So I want to know my numbers just like they want to know their numbers.
Of course. Let's dive into that a little bit. You have quite the collection of companies that are under your umbrella. I would love to kind of hear the Pam Jordan story and how all of your companies kind of came to be. I mean, we don't need to get into the nitty gritty of each individual story, but tell us a little overview of the little empire that you're building.
Excellent. I like the word empire.
Yeah, it is.
Empire,
it's cool.
I think empire comes with lots of zeros. I think I need more zeros to have an empire. So basically, I have a couple passions. One passion is to help small businesses become more profitable and help entrepreneurs have the freedom that they have, the reason they became an entrepreneur is freedom of their time, their money, whatever it is. So I have created some businesses to help people do that. So my first company is called Pivot Business Group, and this is the fractional CFO controller firm. And this is where we can do the bookkeeping and the controller and the bank recs and the nitty-gritty and track your KPIs and the stuff that as an owner you might care about, but you might not, but still needs to get done in the background. And then we also have CFO services where we do the owner's dashboard and we help with the strategy. We broker deals, you know, we help valuations, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then I've created another company with a business partner out of Tampa, Florida. He is a business trial attorney. There's only two attorneys, business attorneys that I like. So I joined up with one of them because he's smarter than I am and he's creative for an attorney, believe it or not. And so it's a good person to have on speed dial. So what we've created is a digital course so that his name is Stan Pageant. He and I can only, we're service providers. Mm-hmm. We can only provide service to so many clients. And so we've joined forces and created a digital course that can help the masses. And so it's taking his years of experience, my years of experience, putting it together in a digital course that walks you through how to set up your company, how to have a strong foundation, how to know which legal entity you want, tax election you want, how to understand accounting, how to set up your books, make sure you do XYZ when you start to have employees, make sure you understand the difference between a W-2 and a 1099. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't make sense to you right now, you should not have anyone working for you.
Yes.
100%. No one should work for you if you didn't understand those last numbers that I just said. So the course, if somebody wants to start out or they've been playing the business game for a little bit and it's gotten a little bit too big, this is a great way to get a ton of knowledge without having to pay high hourly rates to myself or Stan to have us, you know, come answer your questions.
Right.
And then we also have a company called Smart Biz Accounting, which is just virtual bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. Nothing flashy. This is a really good done-for-you option for people who are starting out. We'll set up your books and then on a monthly basis, keep track of it. And it's there for you so that as you grow, you have a foundation. So that when you get bigger and you bring it in-house, you have a nice set of books to hand off to them.
Yeah.
And then a completely different twist for my last business is I live a gluten-free lifestyle due mm-hmm. to an autoimmune disease called celiac disease. Mm-hmm. And I've been living this way for 8 years and it is legit hard.
Yeah.
So I've created a blog and I'm a social influencer and I have 6 books and I speak on stages and do cooking demos. And I have courses coming out for that as well, where I just help people live gluten-free and travel gluten-free and feed their kids gluten-free and, you know, plan dinners and work and still have a safe dinner for your family at the end of the day.
Yeah. I can attest to living gluten-free is not easy. I started, this is too much information, but whatever. I started, you know, getting stomach aches whenever I drank beer or started, you know, eating bread. And I was like, man, what is going on? Am I, you know, going to have to shift to a gluten-free lifestyle? And so I tried it for a week and I was like, this is too hard. The stomach aches are worth it. So props to you for providing this service for people to really learn the best ways to do this, because I don't know how I could actually make that transition. But
okay. Well, if you decide to give up the gluten, I got you.
All right. Sounds good. So let's circle back to the Pivot Business Group real quick. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you had mentioned is that Pivot saw some pretty great growth right from the get-go. Can you kind of talk us through the journey as, you know, from the point where Pivot started to the point where it really started to take off? And what were kind of those levers that y'all pulled to really make that a business that, you know, it was as successful as it is?
So I need to start with the fact that this wasn't my first business. I'd had quite a few others that did not go well. So I'm not going to tell you what they were.
Okay.
Or tell fantastic success stories. I'm just going to say there's a handful that I sucked at and we didn't make money. And so we shut them down. Mm-hmm. So I took all those lessons. And so with Pivot Business Group, what was great is it's all grown through referrals. Because if I come into your company, hook you up, holy crap, you're making money. Holy crap, you can go on vacation. You're not working 80 hours a week and your, you know, kid knows your name again.
Yeah.
So once I do that for one business owner, it rolls really quickly. And then their CPA is like, holy cow, what is going on? Like, you actually are profitable. You know, who's doing this? And they're like, oh, Pam. And then it rolls and rolls and rolls. So what was crazy is, you know, when you start out, you have these goals of, if I make X, I have made it. Like, I am something if I hit six figures. Mm-hmm, like, roll out the red carpet, I'm awesome. And then you hit that really quick with our company. In less than a year, we were there. And I was looking around and be like, crap, what do you do now? And so I got myself into some rooms in under the mentorship of some people that are much further down the road. And I was like, oh, there's more zeros. And I can get them. And this is how I grow.
This is where the empire comes from.
Right?
Yeah.
So I brought in both W-2 employees and 1099 contractors to perform work. And we've done a lot of creative systems of, you know, just the client journey. I know you guys have talked about this on other podcasts. 100%. You know, like, okay, you engage us, this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. And it's just that journey, because that's scalable. And that's what's gotten us 2X every year. And this year, we'll do 3X from what we did last year, just because we've got these systems and I've got more people on my team reproducing them over and over again.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is the best testament to the fact that documenting your systems and processes actually works. That's one of our core values here at Digital Marketer is to document and share your knowledge. And it works because it allows more people to come in and do the same thing that you're doing. You can clone yourself. It's great.
100%.
It's so smart. It's so smart. So congrats to you and everything that you've accomplished in on that business. I mean, doubling every year and then tripling this year, that's something to be really proud of. So kudos to you and your team.
Thanks. Yeah, we're going to have a little happy dance at the end of the year.
There you go. So I wanted to kind of start rounding this conversation out. There's one question that I wanted to talk about to go back a little bit to the financial side of things. So, you know, obviously you can go out and you know, you can hire a fractional CFO, or, you know, you can do everything on your own. If you're doing stuff on your own and you're thinking about, you know, really starting to educate yourself a little bit more in, you know, managing your money for your business, what are some resources, maybe some books or recommended, you know, different resources that people can go to really start to get a foundation for this before they take those next steps?
Sure, 100%. So the first book I recommend is Profit First, which we've already talked about, because you don't have to have an accounting degree to understand this system. And it makes sense across the board. So it's a huge tool. Easy to follow along. The audiobook I love because Mike's hilarious. So the audio version is really good. The other two are older ones, but they're fantastic.
Yeah.
So the next one that I recommend is Good to Great by Tim Collins.
Yeah.
And this lays the foundation, not necessarily for finance, but for you as a business leader to help you give you vision. Because I can track your numbers all day long, but if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter.
No doubt.
That one I love. And then the third one that I recommend is The E-Myth Revisited by Michael E. Gerber, because this is all about systems and processes. And that's how you grow and that's how you scale, regardless of your industry. I'm a service provider. The only way to scale is to provide more service and to have more service providers, which means the company can't be reliant on me because there's only so much of me.
Yeah.
So The E-Myth is epic to help you understand, do what you do well, delegate the rest, and create systems that are on rinse and repeat.
Awesome. Great recommendations. Good to Great is actually sitting on my coffee table at home. So love that book. All right, Pam, we ask everyone who comes on the show this question. So you've obviously run several successful businesses. You've had lots of success, but you've also had failures and you've learned a lot. I can only assume. So if you could go back and talk to your 25-year-old self, knowing what you know now, what would you tell her?
So I've listened to your podcast, and so I knew this question was coming.
All right.
So I've been thinking about it. And the answer is be brave.
Yeah.
Because as a female in corporate world, we're not exactly encouraged to be brave and to step out and to take risks. And so unfortunately, I didn't jump out and really try to make a claim for myself until I was in my 30s, where what I'm doing now, I could have done 10 years ago. And so it's almost like I'm kicking myself that I wasn't brave enough to just jump off the cliff and try it.
Yeah.
So that's definitely what I would say is just be brave.
Awesome. Great advice. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insight, Pam. Last question of the day, where can people go to learn more about you and all of your businesses?
Sure. So to learn about me, my website is pamjordancfo.com. And so that's my personal page. And then for pivotbusinessgroup.com, and that's our fractional CFO or controller services.
Awesome. Well, if you're looking to get somebody who actually knows a little bit about how to operate a financial or the financial side of your business, highly recommend Pam. Pam, thank you so much for being on the show, sharing all of this knowledge. And if you're ever in Austin, Texas, you got to swing by and come see us.
Let's do it. This has been so much fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.